right, good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just good old Southern gospel singing. Is that it? Yeah, all right then. I mean, I knew it looked like I'd pushed it hard as I could, and I thought, well, I may be losing all my energy in that one thumb. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, it's been a good day already in the Lord, and let me say to you that it's refreshing to go down to the house of God and to be able to sing songs of Zion and to be able to open the word of the Lord and be led by the Spirit of God. Take your Bible, if you will, Jeremiah chapter number 23. Chapter 23, if you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in a passage. And notice, if you will, please, in about verse number 30 down through 32. Now, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Now there's what's wrong, the last phrase, that's what's wrong with the average Baptist church in the day and hour that we're living in. And he says, and yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, and therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. All right, back on down to verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. That's what happens if you get to where you want your opinion more than you want God, and you pervert the words of the living God. It's not going to be long. You won't have them. All right, look in verse 39. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you. That's a pretty stiff thing the Lord's saying. And I will forsake you, and the city that I have, that I gave you and your fathers, shall ye cast out of my presence. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and hey, we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus now over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We thank you, Lord, for saving Madeline. Thank you for the privilege to be able to go here to the baptismal waters and disturb them tonight as we watch her and witness her being following the Lord in baptism. Bless, I pray now, the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on lies and lightness for a little while this morning. Now, you know, this is not anything that was foreign to men of old, whether they be prophets, whether they be apostles, whether they be men of God in days gone by, is that they seemingly, even in the days of Jeremiah, they had problems with this subject of lies and lightness. Let me tell you, number one, do you know if you believe a lie, it'll damn your soul to hell? A lie will send you straight to hell. I got to tell you something else on the other hand. Lightness will send you straight to hell. I know some people in the day and hour that we're living in, you know, they're looking for a Bible. It's not so hard to live by. They're looking for a church to make them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. They're not going to spend any quality time looking in the Word of the Lord and applying it unto their heart and their life. And the reason being is because they love the Word of the Lord. Just give me a little lighter dose of it. What do you think over there in Isaiah in chapter number 30, whenever he talked about, we don't want you preaching right things. We don't want you seeing what's wrong. We want you preaching smooth things to where we can feel good about ourselves like we are without the need to repent. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out it was the love that Jesus had for a lost and dying world that he went and was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and that he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and said, it's finished. He made it possible that whosoever will may come. But you know, we live in a world that doesn't want to be able to come that blood-bought way. Why do you think the modern-day versions of the Bible want to eliminate take the name God out of the places that are there, and they want to deny that Jesus is God and the virgin birth, and we could go on and on. How does that make that a better passage? You can't take God out of no passage and make that a better version of the Bible. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that while that we might be willing to go and fight for Lot like Abraham did, We ought not to walk. Remember Lot, don't you? That's his nephew. And while he's sitting over there in the gate of Sodom, and he led Abraham, let him choose, you know, which way he was going. He got over there, and finally he got hemmed up, and he had to go and deliver Lot out of that place. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that we may deliver Lot, but bless God, honey, we ought not to be sitting down fellowshipping with him. Two different things, isn't it? Let me say to you that, if you will, when you begin to look into it, hey, let me tell you, you hobnob with the world long enough, it'll get off on you. Make no mistake about it, you're to be in the world but not of the world. But if you're in it and around it very much, it's going to get off on you, and you'll get off on it. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible teaches us is that sin will mar your life. It'll ruin your life. The Bible said over here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, now don't forget your passage that we're looking at, but in Jeremiah chapter number 2, it's in about verse number 8, you'll find is that the pastors had transgressed, and look what he said. He said, verse number 8, said, the priest said not, where is the Lord? In other words, he was gone, and they just acted like everything was all right. Now, where's the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. Pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and they walked after things that do not profit. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, that's what he's talking about in this message of lies and lightness. They got to where they didn't hear the word of the Lord. They didn't believe the word of the Lord. As a result, they wasn't preaching the word of the Lord. And boy, as a result of that, they got farther and farther and farther till finally God began to say to them that the pastors that have even transgressed. You've heard me say this more than one time in the last many years. It's probably not what the average Baptist preacher and the people that you know that they're listening to, it's probably not what he's saying so badly. It's what he's not saying. And as you begin to look into this lesson, it don't take long. You can walk in a church and just look around a little bit and tell what they're not preaching on. In this lesson here, you'll find out is that lies and lightness. In other words, the truth. Somebody, you ever hear anybody say this? I listened to this preacher, he was pretty good. He done pretty good. I realize that, he wasn't a barn burner, and he didn't really get at it and all that. He didn't scream and holler and this and that. And what they're trying to tell you is he's a man of lightness. See? They know such thing when people tell you, oh, man, listen, we got us a preacher like Brother Dennis. I hope he can beat this. You better get somebody that's like the Lord. You know what happens whenever you've got people that are following people instead of the Lord? They can't make up their minds which person they want to follow. Do you know the Bible said that a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways? One day they're in, next day they're out, next day they're in, next day they're out. I got to tell you, dear friend, I'm not looking for somebody to follow me only as I follow Christ. That's the only reason I'd be wanting to. But outside of that, you'd better just follow the Lord and gird up your loins with the truth of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that sin in the day we live in is running rampant, and it's labeled Phariseeism by the liberals. But make no mistake about it, it's a matter of lightness. I was thinking about whenever you look into that passage, you think, well, I mean, the preacher, he's pretty good, and he done fair to middling. And the truth of the matter is, if what he offered was poison, it wouldn't hurt anybody. That's how light it is. If it was medicine, it wouldn't cure anybody. I got to tell you right now, I want something whenever God stirs me up and shakes my heart and causes me to remember a passage. You know, every time that I listen to anybody preaching and anybody teaching, regardless of where, regardless if you, and one of these days, some of you will be filling in. And don't think for one minute I won't be listening to it if I'm not here. And I want to tell you right now is that if it's right, I'll know it. If it's wrong, I'm going to know it. I know you've had to listen to a bunch of wrong stuff in days gone by, and that's neither here nor there. What I'm trying to tell you is we ought to be complimentary one toward another and toward the word of the Lord. And make no mistake about it that I'm the pastor until the day I resign it, or either God resigns me, and make no mistake about that whatsoever. And so that doesn't, whenever you're helping me, that doesn't give you the leeway to all of a sudden change everything and decide you want to be able to work your agenda. You better be complimentary in your work toward the work of the Lord that's already given if you want God to be able to bless you and if you want another chance to preach in my place. God bless you. Thank you very much. I will say to you that if you will, is that here the other Wednesday night. What a good sermon that was, by the way. Old Brother Tanner, he was preaching that. And I'd walked up. I said, hey, next time you get a sermon, I got one now. That's good. That's good. He's got one. He's been ready. He's been preparing. And I'd like to meet that lady sometime and just get her on tape clapping her hands. And boy, I promise you right now, I can't clap like that. But I will say to you, make no mistake about it, he didn't have a hernia on his lung or a bunion on his tongue. Is that he knows what's right and what's wrong concerning what he was preaching. I want to say to you, that's the way that it ought to be. You and I ought to study and hide the word of God in our hearts. First of all, that we not sin against God. And second of all, that we could teach transgressors the ways of the Lord. I was thinking about in this lesson here that we're looking at. Here's what he said. He said the reason why that we're in the mess we're in, the people that were stealing his word, they wasn't called of God. God said, I didn't give them a message. I didn't send them, but they ran. I didn't say nothing to them, but they spoke. And said, I will tell you, I'm weary with people trying to steal the words of the Lord. Now, in the Bible lesson, you'll find, make no mistake about it, and I don't care how many years it is until the Lord comes again, and I can't see it being very much longer. But our job is to be faithful unto God however long that is. Over there in the book of Jude, don't turn there, but in verse number 4, he said he warned us about certain men that crept in and unawares. They've got a lascivious conduct. The word lascivious meaning that they're practicing and committing that which is forbidden. They've got no restraint. They've got no right about them. They just simply do whatever feels good for the moment and given time. I want to say to you, these are people that crept in. These are not people that all of a sudden they just, practiced and went to school for that. No, these are certain men that crept in unawares that want to turn the grace of God into lascivious conduct. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at here this morning, I want to say to you is that there's people like that always have been, will be when I'm gone, will be when you're gone, and as the Lord tarries his coming, there's always going to be somebody like this. Remember over in Matthew 23, don't turn there, but the Bible said how they were pretenders there that came in and tried to devour widows' houses. One of the things that'll be hard for you to ever do, and I don't care what problems that it may arise in this world that you're having to deal with, I can tell you exactly what caused it. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. These are not people with money. Some of you got some money. I mean, I got in my pocket right here. Well, I had some, but I've laid it out. I found some money. But let me tell you, it's not wrong to have money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. You show me something going wrong in this world we're living in. You know what's wrong with the election that we got going on? That bunch of money-hungry, money-grubbers and all that business there. See that? I got to say to you that, if you will, is that that's the way that it is. And I don't care if it's my house, your house, the church house, where you trace it all the way back down, money's going to be the root of all evil. That's the reason why the New Bible version said money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Oh, that means there's some kinds it's not. No, the right word of the Lord said the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the very thing that'll make the preacher err. It's the very thing that'll make him use lies or lightness. He goes to round back and go to thinking, ooh, man, that's liable to blow out brother or sister so-and-so, and they've got a pocket full of money, and I don't want to upset them for sure. That's what goes on in the world we're living in. I'll tell you right now, it's not an easy route. It's not an easy route or not an easy path, if you will, please. And every now and again, God is going to make you prove yourself to either be faithful unto him or be faithful unto gain. Let me tell you right now, you can't love God and mammon. That doesn't mean you can't have some nice things. It doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that you can't have some money. Abraham was a man that had some money. But see, what happened was is that he had a nephew named Lot. Now, when you go to following after Lot, he's religious, but he doesn't care about what God had to say, what one iota. I'll tell you something, is that God's looking for somebody that's after his own heart. And in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what he said over in the book of John, chapter number 12. Do not turn there, but in verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up," you know, the drawing powers of the Lord. In the day we live in, we somehow or another, churches across the country, they've got to thinking, hey, if, I don't know, maybe if I just could help the Lord out, maybe a little bit by drawing people myself. Now I want you to watch this. I remember there was a friend of mine, he was over there in Louisiana. And I can't even think of his name, that's how good of friends we are, but I mean, he was a friend of mine. And I'd see him every now and again, you know, at one of these Bible conferences or something like that, revival meeting they'd have, and this and that. And the Bible said over there that we're not going to be using cunningly devised fables. You know, over there in the book of Job, don't turn there, but over there in the book of Job, there's a passage over there in chapter 32 and about verse 21, 22 when he talks about giving titles. You know, back whenever I started out, it was a lot of brother this and brother that and ask doctor this and doctor that. And all that been is there. I mean, we got so many doctors. I had a fellow one time, you know, and I asked him a question. He said, "I don't know." I said, "You're a doctor, ain't you? That means you're supposed to know everything there is about it. I'm just a brother. I'd like to know what this passage here I mean unto you, doctor." None of y'all doctors are you. It's awful quiet and so forth and on. Anyhow, this guy got caught up in all that right there. That's back when they had suitcase colleges. Preachers running around starting a suitcase college, you know. He'd sign everybody up and get them in on the payroll. And they'd be having to pay him for some kind. Hey, I've got some of them old degrees somewhere. I can run some off if you want to enroll in college and pay, start paying me for a college degree that ain't worth wiping your nose on. In this lesson here, we're looking at this friend of mine. I kept stalling for time thinking I could think who he was, but I can't. Anyhow, he was sometime, he'd say, "You get a certain amount of people at Sunday school, and this brother here is going to swallow a goldfish." And so anyhow, they do that. Oh, they had a big blowout and all of that. Next time, you know, they came around, they had not only that, but sometime they'd swallow a worm. This particular time was going to be a big blowout. Had a world renown among Baptist brethren, preacher, you know, there. The big advertisement was this, is that if we get a certain amount in Sunday school that Sunday, the preacher going to stand up here and going to kiss a pig. Now, you know, in the Bible, that's an unclean animal. And so I'm thinking myself is that I can't believe it. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, brother, when's the pig kissing ceremony go?" "Oh, man, brother, this, I was afraid you was going to call me. I was afraid you was going to say something about that." And I said, did you really kiss a pig? And I don't feel good about it. I said, "Well, where did you kiss him?" "Well, just on the snout." I said, "Well, no, I don't mean that. Did you bring him down? Did you bring a swine? Did you bring an unclean animal in the house of God and kiss him there in the house of God?" Now, he's got to live with that. See? Now, I'm not, listen, here's the deal. As all the friends and people that he had, somebody should have counseled him better than that. See what I'm talking about? I should not suffer sin upon my brother. And so anyhow, he said, "Well, I kissed him on the snout." I said, "I didn't mean that. I meant, was you in the pulpit? And where were you?" "Well, yes, sir." I got to say to you that, if you will, that in the day and hour that we're living in, we don't want somebody to listen to a lie. We don't want somebody to be able to think that you can kiss a pig to go to heaven. I don't know how many times you'd take to kiss a pig before you could finally win any kind of points, in other words, with the Lord. I'm guessing none. In this lesson that we're looking at in closing here this morning, I want to say to you, over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, it's about verse number 2, the Bible said we're not, quote unquote, walking in craftiness. We're not trying to slip up on your blind side. And we're not handling the Word of God deceitfully. Bible said we're not to make merchandise of people and humans' lives in order to be able to give out the gospel. In fact is, let me see if I can find where the passage is. I believe it's in 1 Peter. Over there in the book of 1 Peter, and it's in chapter number 1. Now, you know, in the day and hour, while everybody else is hee-hee, ha-ha, and having a good time with all of that, this Bible says that you and I ought to be careful that what we do is by the word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at in the book of 2 Peter, listen to what it says in the passage that's there. In chapter number 1, 2 Peter verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to always to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and establish them in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be after my departure or my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now listen to verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, here's somebody's not into worm swallowing, goldfish swallowing, pig kissing, or whatever else that you want to bring up. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, you know the reason why he said that? Fables can't produce faith. He said, but Christ is our eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, I want to tell you something when you begin to look into it. This Bible teaches we're to dwell in unity one with another with the word of the Lord being our guide and the Holy Spirit of God. You and I ought to be cooperating one with another as we cooperate with the Lord. We ought to be complimentary one toward another as we compliment the word of the Lord. We ought to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know what that means is that we better choose our words carefully when we're teaching and preaching. Boy, this morning there, what a masterpiece old Brother David brought. And I'm telling you right now is that's great all the way around. And let me say to you that when we stand in this pulpit and we preach the blessed word of the Lord, we better be careful, because I want to say to you that the world is full of lies and they're full of lightness. Now, over there in the book of 2 Thessalonians, see, this is the month, here we are in October. It's a great month. It's a month Kim was born in, and it's a great month. And over there in the book of 2 Thessalonians, there's a passage there in chapter number 2, and we're going to close with that here in a moment. In the day we live in, I don't believe in Halloween carnivals in the church house. I don't go to one outside the church, but I don't care if they want to call it fall festival. If it's the same game and the same, it ought to be the same name. See? And so let me say to you that if you're into ghosts and goblins and things like that, that's fine. But I wonder how you can get devil worship to be able to coincide with the word of the Lord. Now watch this. I remember a preacher, he's dead and gone now, so he knows better. And he knew I'm pretty staunch about those kind of things and so forth and on. But the bottom line is this. He said, oh my, he said, I was a little skeptical, but he said, boy, we passed out a whole lot of tracts at the fall festival. I said, well, why don't you just call it what it is? I mean, if you want to have a Halloween carnival, why don't you knock yourself out and do it? Why lighten it up? Why lie about it? See what I'm talking about? In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, and I'm going to close. If you want lies and you want lightness, just hang on. The Lord's going to give it to you. Listen to the passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See, they've liked lies so long, now God's going to give them a delusion so that's all they can do is believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know the reason why people are involved in lies? Well, there's a little fun to be had, obviously. You know what the reason is that people are involved in likeness? Well, obviously, there's a little fun to be had there somewhere. But I got to tell you, that's a bad road to be able to trod in this life. Because one of these days, God says to that crowd, while you had the opportunity to trust me and have repentance and faith, you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And therefore, I'm going to send you a strong delusion to believe a lie and to be damned because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Now, I trust and hope that everybody here that knows the Lord, that you can walk away from here saying it was good to be in God's house. Maybe somebody here who's not yet saved, I hope you'll come to know him in the free pardon of sin before it's too late. But make no mistake about it, if you leave this world without him, it's not because he doesn't love you, and it's not because he wouldn't save you. It's because you wouldn't receive him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. I pray your blessings now upon this service and, Lord, the remainder. And I pray tonight that, Lord, as we get ready to come back from tonight, that you'd speak to our hearts, give us a good evening's rest. We'll say thank you for saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, for setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.